Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, Associate Editor of Charisma Magazine, and today we are continuing our ongoing podcast mini-series talking to leaders in the global church about what the Holy Spirit is doing around the world. Today we have an interview set up with Reverend Dr. Medad Burungi. He is the president and founder of World Shine Ministries in Uganda. And if that sounds like a really far way to have a phone call with someone, it is. You may notice throughout the interview that there's a couple points where things tend to abruptly shift or pivot, and that is because we had this conversation over the course of three different phone calls with each other, mostly due to issues with reception, but also just due to taking a pause and then coming back and approaching it from another angle. So there's a lot of moving parts to this interview. Hopefully it all comes together in a way that is easy to hear. Apologies that the audio quality kind of goes in and out a little bit throughout. But I think that there's still so much good stuff here, and it's such an eye-opening perspective on what God is doing in Uganda that I honestly think you guys will really enjoy this interview. So we will start my interview with Medad, or at least the first part of it, after this message from our sponsor.
Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. Their students are innovators, leaders, and dreamers who carry Liberty's mission into hundreds of professions. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Charisma to the number 49596. Again, text Charisma to the number 49596.
Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. As part of our ongoing series looking at the global church today, I am so excited to welcome probably one of the furthest in distance interviews I've ever done here, but I'm so excited to have him over the phone lines today, Reverend Dr. Medad Burungi, calling all the way from Uganda. Dr. Burungi, how are you doing today?
Thank you. We are doing well. We are under the COVID-19 lockdown, God is protecting us. Yes.
Well, great. And are you guys all staying safe and healthy over there?
Yes, we are staying healthy, locked down, and we have had 102 cases, but 68 have been healed and sent back home. We have not had anybody dying of coronavirus. In my home here, I live with 15 people. So we have been locked down together for 7 weeks. But the Lord has been providing for us, so we are okay. Great.
Well, that's very good to hear. For some of our listeners, many of whom are based in the United States, so they may not have heard of your ministry before, you're the president and founder of World Shine Ministries. And I wondered if you could just, obviously, it tends to be a long story for anyone, but would you be able to briefly share your testimony a little bit?
Briefly, I was born in an abusive home. My father had five wives and 32 children. My mother was the first wife and the most hated one. And so we grew up in a violent home. We grew up, my father was a very, very strong alcoholic, very violent. And we grew up in a home which was very, very poor. I didn't go to school when I was a little boy. But when I was 8 years old, my father left his wife and his children to another state 200 miles away. And he abandoned us. We were 9 children with our mother. So we were abandoned, rejected, and cast, and disowned. And for many years, for 23 years, we were struggling to live. Mm. So I grew up with that kind of rejection, that kind of abandonment, that kind of violent boy, depressed. But after 10 years, when my father left, my sister got married to a rich man, so she's the one who took me to school when I was a teenager. And I started with small children. I finished the elementary school. And then my sister, when I was joining high school, it was the time of Idi Amin. He was killing people. So my sister was one of the people, one of the Christians who were brutally killed by Idi Amin. And so I left school. I didn't go to high school for 1 year. I tried to commit suicide 9 times. But after 1 year, my sisters who did this and that, they again raised money after 1 year. So I went to high school. And it was when I was in high school that I met the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me and gave me the power to forgive my father and 19 men and women who had really made our lives miserable. And from that time when I embraced forgiveness, I forgave 19 people, I forgave my father. And my sisters got born again, they joined the church, my mother got born again, and the Lord began the process of reconciliation with my relatives and those who killed my sister and those who raped my sisters and those who did terrible things to us when we were growing up. And after 22 years, when my father was away for 22 years, he became very sick. He put an announcement on the radio. We went and picked him up, took him to the hospital, and it was when he was sick that in the hospital that he was reconciled with my mother, and then he got healed after some months, and he came back home. We were reconciled with him. He was reconciled with us. And then he went back, he brought his wife and his children, we got reconciled together as a family. And then God started doing business in my life. I got a PhD, I started teaching at the university, I got married and started World Shine, and I started traveling all over the world sharing the message of forgiveness and reconciliation. And then I started World Shine Ministry, which exists to raise godly men and godly women, lead Uganda and influence nations. After Idi Amin and the civil war for 30 years, and corruption and all the things that have taken place in Uganda, I felt very strongly that God was calling me to start, God was calling me to start a ministry to help the younger people. I started an elementary school. We are looking after 240. We are looking after 760 children in Rwentogo. And then I started the reaching, raising, and releasing young men and women into the marketplace so that they can create a new culture of integrity And so what I do now, I do discipleship, intentional discipleship, and then mentorship. We are raising emerging leaders to lead Uganda and influence nations. That's the key thing we are doing as a ministry in Uganda. And Uganda is 70% under 30, so I am concentrating on the younger generation, raising tomorrow's generation, raising tomorrow's leaders. And we do that through reach, through evangelism, raise through discipleship and intentional mentorship, and then we release them into the seven mountains of influence, into the workplace to influence Uganda and the nations. In summary, that's what I was and how the Lord has put a burden on my heart to raise the next generation to lead Uganda and influence the nations of the world.
That is fantastic. Thank you for sharing your story there. And I wanted to ask a little bit then. So given your work in Uganda right now, what is it like to be a Christian in Uganda? What is the culture there like for being a follower of Jesus?
Uganda, as you know, it was the church was begun on the blood of the martyrs in 1886 when the missionaries came and led some people to Christ. The king raised a violent hand against the church and burnt alive 36 young men and young women who had received Christ. And so from 1886, our church was really attacked by the government. And then in 1970, Idi Amin came and killed 2 million Christians in 10 years. And during the time of Idi Amin and the time of the civil war that killed many people and HIV, the Lord brought a new revival, which began in prayer. When Idi Amin burned many churches and killed the archbishop, the denominational divide was broken, so the churches came together to pray for Idi Amin, and even when Idi Amin left, the church united to pray against the HIV, and even now the church is united to pray against the COVID-19. So Uganda now is the 85% Christian. And so living in Uganda now as a Christian, we are now, many people go to church, right? Tired of going to church. Many churches are full every Sunday. Apart from this lockdown, the lockdown closed church buildings, but people are meeting in small groups. Living as a Christian in Uganda is, for the last 37 years, we've had freedom of worship. So people are free to preach the gospel. They are free to do evangelism through crusades and open air crusades and church meetings and going for all night prayers in different stadiums and different places. And also churches working together, they are not fighting against each other. So living in Uganda as a Christian now is many people identify themselves as Christians without shame or fear. They also have programs on TV and radio without fear. The church is wide, and some people go to church is a fashion, so many people go to church. And so, if I can explain well, there is a lot of churchianity. There's a lot of churchianity here. Many people go to church, but their depth is not very deep. So Christianity is when people think that when you go to church every Sunday, then you are a Christian. When you are born, when you are baptized, confirmed, you go to church, you pay church dues, you are a Christian. But my prayer really is that the church will get good teaching and get deep in the church. You cannot be 85% Christian and then be one of the most corrupt countries in the world. So there is a dichotomy between church and work. On Sunday, churches are full, but from Monday to Saturday, people are doing a different lifestyle at work, at home. So we desperately need the discipleship, men and women to be discipled, to know that you can be a Christian at home, a Christian at church, and a Christian at work. But the charismatic Pentecostal renewal movement has now, for the last 10 years, brought a very big revival that is seeping through even historically mainline churches. Many people now are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a big revival of spiritual gifts. The charismatic renewal movement is sweeping through the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Anglican Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church. So for the last few years, there has been another move of God that is taking church from churchianity to real deep business with the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's great to hear. I guess maybe to dig a little deeper into that then, can you tell me a little bit more about this revival and what the Holy Spirit is doing in Uganda through that revival?
I am one of the top leaders of this revival movement. I was working as the director of mission and in the Anglican Church of Uganda and the Diocese of Kampala. So the Holy Spirit descended on the church in Kampala. I was a chaplain at the Chambogo University. And so there is a move that is bringing churches together. The irrespective of church denomination, the Holy Spirit is moving from one church to another. People are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anglicans, Catholics, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, alike, younger children, teenagers, old men and women, revival that is moving on in the church in Uganda is the revival of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. The Lord has released the charismatic renewal movement in the Pentecostal charismatic and the mainline churches. There is a move of restoring spiritual gifts in the church, including the mainline churches. And I have been one of the leaders of this revival and renewal movement. I have been a chaplain of Chambogo University. And so we started a move of God in the Anglican Church, the Catholic Church, the historic churches. God is doing a great work. There are so many people today who are getting saved. They are coming to the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. There are so many miracles and wonders that are taking place in the church, in schools, in universities. It is a very powerful prayer move. So many hundreds of houses of prayer and establishment of prayer altars in different corners of the country. People are calling upon the name of the Lord. They are crying to God. And the prayer move is the one that birthed this revival movement that is now moving on, but it is not only a holiness movement, it is also a charismatic movement that is reviving the spiritual gifts that had seized in many churches. We have seen the church grow, many Muslims come to the Lord. We have seen many radio stations and TV stations coming up, Christian stations. We have also seen many people who are born again, spirit-filled, join politics, and they become parliamentarians. Others become cabinet ministers. Others become commissioners and heads of organizations. And we are seeing God now is taking over our country. We saw the president of Uganda calling all church leaders in the stadium, and the president of Uganda repenting on behalf of all the leaders in the past who ruined the nation.
One last question, then, because I'm sure that many of our listeners are thinking about this. What are the biggest needs or problems facing Christians in Uganda that we in the United States can be praying for you guys for as brothers and sisters in Christ?
The biggest challenge I see is the lack of discipleship. Lack of discipleship and lack of teaching. The church is full. The numbers are getting more and more, but they are deep into the Word of God to know how to live the Christian life is a very, very big need. So we need more Bible teachers. We need discipleship and discipleship materials to mature the Christians that are getting saved in big numbers. And to me, that's one of the biggest needs. The second biggest need, of course, is that the church is poor. It depends on the basket collection, most of the churches. And so we need to develop a theology of work. A theology that will enable Christians to know that working is not a sin. Doing business is not a sin. There has been a culture of thinking that working and making money and being rich and prosperous is evil, is getting worldly. So the church needs to change its thinking. And also the church in Uganda, another challenge is the young generation. Uganda is a young nation. Over 75%, they are under 30. So we need to really focus on the next generation to catch what their parents have and take the church to another level of excellence. So we need mentors. We need men and women who will mentor the younger ones, train them, and release them to influence the marketplace. And that will help the church to influence the nation, to change the national culture of corruption and injustice and so on, and raise the new generation that will say not corruption, that will be focused on Christ and transform the whole society and the whole community. To me, that is a very big need, and we need to raise for Uganda. And also, we need to take these Christians who are already born again, already matured, to take them to re-evangelize the Western world, where the church is going down, and they need to be like Europe and America. They need to be re-evangelized by the African younger men and women. When we reach them, we raise them, then we send them to the nations of the world. So there should be that cross-cultural re-evangelization. You bring the teachings, our people are taught, they are grounded. You bring evangelists, they re-evangelize the Western together, they can make the world a better place.
Fantastic. Well, I know that me and our listeners will be praying that way for you, for your organization, for the needs that you've brought up there, and for your country. Reverend Dr. Medad Burungi, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of the podcast and for giving so many of our listeners who maybe have never been and may never be able to get to Uganda themselves. Thank you for giving them a picture of what the Holy Spirit and Jesus are doing in your country.